More stories with Daryl Sims, the alien hunter, when we come back, and we'll take your phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Daryl. They're lining up for you to talk, but let me ask you a little bit about the abduction cases. What would you estimate that the number might be on this planet since it's been happening? Millions?
Well, I could only guess, I could only surmise based on what we've already seen from past events, because since I don't know everything, I can't really say. But in my guesstimate, or my swag of answer, it would, in my opinion, be in the millions over the period of time that they've been involved. And our best information on how long they've been involved with us, quote unquote, according to their estimates, not ours, but theirs, is approximately 6,000 years.
6,000 years. Interesting number there.
That was their number, not ours. That came from the engineer and that mass induction. He saw a gigantic chart, a three-dimensional chart, kind of like a picture, and he questioned it, and it looked like a gigantic road race and a road map, I mean, with a giant circle on it, and there was one little section there that was unfinished, and he asked the entity, he said, what is that? What is this? And he said, that's our entire time with your kind. And of course, being an engineer, he said, well, what's that little one? Boy, how much space is that? And he said, well, that's all that's left. And he said, well, how much is that? And he said, each of those, he said, that's 100 years. Of course, we don't know whether we're in 10 years of it or 20 years of it or 50 or 90 years of it. We don't know. But of course, being a scientific mind, he multiplies that entire chart because he's sitting there for quite a while. Well, this entity's doing various different things, and he estimates approximately 6,000 years on this chart.
Interesting. What do you think they want, Daryl? What do they want with us?
Well, I don't think you might want to fasten your seatbelt on this one.
Here we go.
I don't think the alien wants anything, because I'm not even sure they know. They themselves don't know what they want, because they are not in charge. Someone else is running their show. Someone else hatched, cloned, manufactured, made them for the purpose of interaction with us. And one of the ruses of that, in my opinion, is to convince us that they are, in fact, aliens from other worlds. I am not saying there aren't entities from other worlds out there. There probably are. There possibly are. I have no problem with that. What I'm saying is the guys we're looking at aren't them. And when you start studying, like I said, you start looking at the DNA, you look at the behavior, you look at the so-called surgical procedures, you look at some of the other things we're doing, why they steal sperm and eggs from people, and what they're doing. One of the things they're doing on that massive craft, in my opinion, you're looking at the alien Dr. Moreau's scientific office, basically.
That's right.
And that's
there.
Where the hatchery is at.
And then they either bring them down here or take them to other planets.
I think sometimes they distribute them around to doing different things. It's kind of like, and I hate to use the movie as an illustration, the movie Blade Runner, where the replicants there did not have a pass because they had been made. But they were given a pass or gifted a pass so that they would think that they had a family or a future, a past, and so on. And this is one of the things they desperately look for. I don't think Galen has a past. I think if they do, quote unquote, they said, oh, I'm from planet Ban or Banlon, you know, which is a deodorant, you know. They're told that. They don't actually, they're manufactured, hatched, cloned, and even in some cases, biomechanically put together, and there's good evidence of that. And Dr. Carl Turner gave me some evidence before she passed away of that, in my opinion, which will reflect that. In fact, I showed Dr. Levinsgood an almost identical sample of the one that we had. He said, where'd you get that one? And I said, from Dr. Carl Turner. He said, oh, my God. He said, they look almost identical under microscopy. And I said, that's true. And I said, but this one appears, in my opinion, my guesstimate at this point, appears to be biomechanical. In other words, the cells that you see present there are mixed with something that is metallic as well.
Do they tend to have any spirituality behind them?
None whatsoever. None. This is the amazing thing that if you study abductees carefully, you get past their fears, get past their, oh my gosh, you know, within this glory of higher consciousness and all that. You get past the mind, the brainwashing that goes on, and you start listening carefully to other things in their experiences, and particularly when you can get past their recall and actually get to memory, you find out some pretty amazing things. One of them is that almost every abductee out there that has physical contact with them and is clear-headed, one of the first things they discover, and they're stunned to find it out, they'll say, oh my God, they have no soul.
They have no soul. And to the phones we go. Antioch, California, Ellen's turn. Ellen, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Hello, George and Mr. Wilson. I hope I'm getting things right, but I'm having some problems with my cell phone here. Yes, and it's a wonderful privilege to speak with the both of you tonight. I'm calling in. I have had some experiences to where I believe that I've had some possible experiences with either being an abductee or being interacted with different beings interdimensionally and so forth, and even my mother. We just recently started speaking about this. We're Native American culture and been raised Christian and, you know, not too well received to be talking of certain subjects of these kinds in our church groups and so forth, as what we have been finding. But we try to be open-minded. And but my mom has had experiences where she has been floated out of her home in Oakley, California, and we live not too far from there in Antioch, California, currently. And I've had experiences like that in the night, and I'll wake up on the floor or in different parts of my room. And I've had those experiences for quite some time, and I had a near-death experience just before the 2000, the 9/11 attacks, and in which case also before that, I had some pretty extensive visions of the attacks and what would be taking place. So I called Washington to try to warn the president and other people. And I've had
did they listen to you, Ellen, when you did that?
Well, they just took the call and hung up. And but I did have several planes and helicopters trying to land in my backyard for various reasons. I don't know. There was a white plane constantly going over my house in Oakley, taking pictures.
Well, you know, Daryl, that's something I haven't asked you yet about government involvement in some of this. What are they doing?
Okay, while I was filming with my cohorts on the reality TV show called Uncovering Aliens, something rather amazing happened. I'm hypnotizing this gentleman, and I'm trying to ascertain: number one, is he hallucinating? Do I have real memory? I have to find this out. I have to know if he's confabulating in some way, or is the alien confabulating for him and he's remembering that. I have to know the difference between that and memory. And I finally am convinced that I've got him in memory, and later he proved to me that that in fact was true. But while I'm hypnotizing him, the camera's watching, and all this stuff is going on, and I'm writing the process of that, and then even doing therapy with him to heal up, to give him a cushion for his events. I swear every word of this is true, and it's on the film. A black helicopter rises. We're at Sedona, and a black helicopter rises above the little hill right behind us, and it's watching us. And I look at it, and all the camera guys can't believe it because the thing's close, and there's no markings on it whatsoever. Nobody knows where it came from, or it just doesn't get any better than that. So obviously, it some government agency is involved there. And I think this lady is right about that in that regard. And the United States government has better evidence than I probably have or ever will have. They're not going to share it. And so I've failed to see why I need to share mine with them. And whenever they come forward and start doing the right thing, maybe I'll do the same. My point is, and this lady said something that was really wonderful, and we didn't get to touch on that, but when we were talking about the DNA, some of the DNA stuff, we may talk about that later. One of the things we found out in our statistics is 45% of all the people that we found, and I don't care where we find them. I went to Turkey and found the same thing. 45% of those abductees are going to be Native American, Indian, Irish, or Celtic.
Really?
Absolutely.
That's
when I
weird.
Went to Turkey and told them this, they said, Mr. Sims, we think you're the best presenter. We love this. You're great. You're wonderful. But you are 100% wrong about this. We're all Turks. And I said, no, you're Native American as well, or Irish, or Turk. Excuse me. And later, about 5 years later, a scientist, a professor at the in Ankara, in the capital of Turkey, did Native American testing, DNA testing in the United States, especially in northern tribes, took the evidence back and did DNA testing on the Turks, and guess what they found? They're Native American.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's
they are.
Interesting.
And then, of course, that next time I went to Istanbul, they said, oh, my God, you were right. And I said, no, it's not about being right. I said, the stats are still correct. They don't change just because you're a different race.
It is what it is.
Yes, sir.
Let's go to Tony in Winnipeg, Canada. Tony, you're up with us. Go ahead, sir. Hi, Tony. Going once. Going twice. Goodbye, Tony. Let's try Andre in Fresno, California, though. Go ahead, Andre.
Hey, how you doing? I had a question about, you talked about the little neurons, the little cells.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I was wondering, instead of just, like, taking over for your brain waves, what if it was, like, since they were made out of organic, what if they actually, like a extra power processor, and also because their cell form, for trees, what if it was more for storing information to be retrieved later?
Well, that's a possibility. This is something for you, Daryl. These implants, could they be capturing data and passing it on maybe at a later date?
They do, and your caller is absolutely correct. One of the things that many abductees will describe is the alien was next to me, right next to my bed. I couldn't move. I was paralyzed, but I didn't go anywhere. That's because he's uploading or downloading data. He doesn't need to take you anywhere. And about 80% of you abductees out there, you're not going anywhere. Your events are happening right there, wherever it's at, in the woods, in your home, or wherever it's at. That's probably where it's happening. 20% of the time, you'll come back with fluorescence on you or some type of evidence. And the evidence is there if you know how to look for it. That's why I wrote the book on Alien Hunter, Evidence and Light, because there's different kinds of light that you can look at, and it will show the evidence of them. And the same thing with implants.
Let's talk a little bit more about the fluorescence. How did you discover that?
I discovered it in 1992. There was a lady present. My engineer buddy was there as well. And I said, I want to use this black light to check your exposed arms and neck, if you don't mind. And she said, well, what is that going to do? And I said, well, I don't know. I said, I had this punch that we're missing something. And as soon as I put the black light on her, there was a Mandelbrot set on the inside of her left arm. Now, Mandelbrot set is kind of a heart-shaped type object. It's a mathematical configuration in fractal geometry describing order and chaos. Now, the lady, as soon as that light hit her, and she said, what the blankety blank is that? And I said, I don't know yet. And she ran to the bathroom and started scrubbing, and she reminded me of a rape victim. And I'm a private investigator, but was in law enforcement in the military for years. And when you see a rape victim, this is what they do. And she scrubbed, and the more she scrubbed, the brighter it got. And the more she scrubbed, of course, she's drumming up memories, what she's doing. The cellular memory is in your body. I mean, and you're going to, if you touch the body, you even get a massage sometimes. You know, it'll pull up certain types of memories from certain people if they do deep massage. And all she was doing is reliving the event, and it was scaring her really bad. And that Mandelbrot set was the first fluorescence we found. It was brilliant, brilliant blue, and it was absolutely stunning. I was not prepared for that. I expected to see something like fingerprints on somebody or something like that, long fingers, in which we later found. But a mathematical construction of order and chaos in fractal geometry, I was not prepared for that.
Not at all. Okay, let's take a few more calls before the break and then wrap things up when we come right back. Joe is in Knoxville, Tennessee now. Joseph, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I was curious more about the alien DNA and also the people that are abducted. have you taken DNA samples of them and, like, put them, compared them to see if there may be something that they're looking for or something that might give you a hint of what why they were abducted?
Well, those are great questions. Number one, we've not done a full DNA testing on everybody, and the reason it's expensive. However, I do have a major DNA firm that's interested in doing this with me, and at a reduced rate for people. And so when we start that program, and I hope our next new DNA lady will will be able to stay on board long enough to for this actually to happen.
Sure.
That will happen, number one. Number two is... when you look at the peripheral information alone, Native American, Indian, Irish, and things like this, and you look at our stats, we've got huge stats on these people. We keep good stats on them. And when you realize that some of these people have up to 31% in one of our surveys had a rare drug allergy to procaines. Now, you say, well, what is that? Well, it's like going to your dentist and saying, I can't take Novocaine because I'm allergic to it. Your dentist will laugh at you. The drug allergy is so rare and so minor with most people, if they even had it, that only one out of 35,000 people is even going to have it. And whenever you have 31% of abductees who do have it, that's equivalent to 3 people out of every 10 astronauts who are going to have that rare drug allergy. There's no actuarial for it. It's impossible. So these are hints to us that we're looking in the right direction. We think we're doing real well in that regard.
In your opinion, Daryl, in your opinion, what the heck is going on?
Oh, now we're getting to the meat of it. Well, the fact is, and if my thesis is correct, and I've done this for over 40 years, if my thesis is correct, and I state that I don't know everything, if my thesis is correct, these entities that we're encountering are hatch cloned, manufactured, or made in some other way. They don't have belly buttons. They don't have genitalia. So how do they reproduce? Well, they don't. They're made. They're hatched, they're cloned, they're manufactured, and they're presented to us.
They're the little worker bees, aren't they?
So the issue is who's behind that? Who made them, and what are they doing? What's Dr. Moreau doing up there, so to speak? The alien Dr. Moreau in that massive craft, what's he doing with and some of the hints that we can get on that is when people have alien abduction contact, what happens? Well, many of these people are women, about 65, 70% will be women, and their eggs will be taken. The other group, many of them, the men, or young men or boys, their sperm will be taken. Well, the question you have to ask yourself, really bluntly, is where's all this stuff going? And to what end? And what are that? I've asked that question for years and come up with my own thesis on it. But what really confirmed my thesis, again, it goes back to evidence to me, not what I think. What I think doesn't matter. It's what I can prove. So I got several cases that stunned me, 3 in particular. And then one of them blew me clean out of the water concerning the DNA and the so-called alien program with the so-called hybrid. Because what I found inside a lady in the sonogram is, in fact, an alien fetus.
Jeez. More to come when we come right back. On our next Coast to Coast program, we'll have Dr. Peter Breggin with us for a couple hours talking about his new work, Guilt, Shame, and Anxiety. And then later on, we're going live to Spain. Robert Bavall is out there. He's got more information on the Giza pyramids. So make sure you're part of Coast to Coast AM. When we come back with Daryl Sims, the alien hunter, we'll take your final phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Daryl Sims with us, of course, and your call. So this fetus that was in this woman, a hybrid type, or do you think it's more alien, Daryl?
The fetus that I saw in the woman that I still have the sonograms of showed to be alien in origin. In fact, the two doctors that looked at it, I took the x-rays, the sonograms to England and told them I was a private investigator. And I said, this is not an insurance case or anything like that. It's not litigation. Just want to know your opinion of these sonograms. And I just tossed them on the table. She, the main doctor there at a fetal hospital, there's your specialist. She took the sonograms, began to arrange them, brought in another consult, and looked at, and she rearranged them completely and says, this is not right. And I said, what is it that's not right, doctor? She said, well, whoever took these sonograms was not interested in the fetal development whatsoever. Of course, I already knew that. And I said, well, what is it that you can see or ascertain that you think they might have been looking at or about? And she said, oh, my God, what a strange little head. I've never seen a bulbous head with a long, pointed little chin. I said, do you know of any medical condition that might account for that? She said, possibly hydrocephalus. And I said, well, my sister died from hydrocephalus. And she didn't look like that at all.
She was baffled.
Stunned. And then I picked up my sonograms, put them in my pocket, and smiled and thanked them all and left. And they're standing there with their mouths open wondering, who is that guy and what is it we just looked at? What they didn't know is I've got other pictures and other things that you're not going to find on the internet of aliens as well. And they are not, they're small people and they don't have genitalia and they don't have belly buttons because they weren't hatched. They were hatched, cloned, or manufactured.
Created.
They weren't born. They didn't get here the way we do.
These occupants of this city-wide craft, why aren't they back at their own home planet? Why are they floating around the solar system?
In my opinion, they don't have a home planet. That is their home planet. They were made, hatched, and cloned right there, and to them, that is their home. That is it.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That's the base of operation. It's so massive, you could put a planet in it, a small one.
Huh. But somewhere out there is a planet with their creator.
I suspect that that there is a location where their makers came from, but their makers do everything they can to stay out of sight. And one of the things that was amazing, what caused the mass abduction of December 8th, 1992, and December 11th, it's a double mass abduction, happened three nights apart. They came and got the same eight people from two states and several cities. The amazing thing about that was I am the alien hunter. Look, it's that simple. I hunt them that hunted me and hunted my son. I don't hunt aliens with a camera like some people. I hunt the pilot. That's who I'm after. And the fact is that this was an attempt for me to get them to come to us instead of us being waiting for them basically to take us whatever it is they wanted. And they fell for the bait, and it upset them so bad. This massive craft showed up, and every one of the witnesses that were on there starts describing some of these entities that are there, not just the normal guys that showed up, but they described two high-level entities that showed up that scared all the aliens on that craft into blind obedience and fever, basically. And these two entities were from their makers, apparently, and they wanted to know how did he do that and why did he do it. And that's what caused the mass abduction. That told me right off the bat that, number one, they're vulnerable, and number two, that we need to be looking at other things. Instead of being in awe, looking at some bug-eyed little cosmic skinhead from somewhere out there, we need to be paying attention to the DNA and actual evidence and things that are going on. And these abductees that are giving us really good information.
We need to
look at it in a different way.
Let's go to Caroline in Orlando, Florida. Caroline, go ahead.
Hi, I'm a long-term listener back in the days of art. I called in a few times. I really appreciate you taking my call. I'm 56, and I've been interacting with something that's way bigger than me, and it's been interacting with me, and I've just been trying to figure out what it is or who it is and why me. But I started paying attention, I guess, in my early 30s, and the black helicopters, the electronic harassment. I mean, I don't know if it's mind control experiments, but I find, like, marks on my vein. But I asked the medical personnel, what does it look like, this mark? She says, it looks like your blood got drawn, you know, or I'm getting, you know, medication into my veins or taking blood. And my mother's father was Irish. My father's side is French Scottish, that's Celtic, and they're also Creek Indian. I'm an eighth a 16th Creek Indian. So that's Native American. But what I want to know, I mean, I've always felt that this intuitively, this is something really malevolent and sinister. And when you said that they're messing with our neurochemistry, the implants and stuff, in order to program us, I was wondering what you meant by that, like what the agenda is. Like, is it to possess us? Because I think this is demonic. I really think, you know, even if fundamentalist Christians believe that the earth is only 6,000 years old, that God created the earth 6,000 years ago, I think this is all Satan, you know, and demons and the Illuminati. I don't know, the whole connection.
Well, let's check in with you, Daryl. Some people actually believe this is demonic. Where do you come from there?
I don't think it's demonic. I think it's bad. I think anytime somebody mutilates a human being, and we've got cases, new cases, one of them down in Brazil where an elderly lady was skinned alive in her own bed.
Skinned alive?
It wasn't humans that did it. I can give you other cases as well, but the reason I don't publish or talk about this kind of stuff, it's not popular, and nobody wants to hear that kind of stuff. That's true. It doesn't sell. He put a book out on human mutilations to see how well that sells. You probably sell all 8 copies. Nobody wants to know that. But to me, it's about evidence. And whatever evidence is out there, good, bad, or ugly, it's evidence. That's all it is. And I think the things these entities do is very bad, a lot of it. And some of it doesn't appear to be because the person goes along with it and they think it's just brainwashing or these little mental scapes that these entities allow you to take. It seems like a lot of fun, and if that's the case, and you know, God bless you, and go on with it. But the fact is that it's about demonic in the sense of the word that the demon is a disincarnate spirit. A disincarnate spirit means he doesn't have a body. Well, the alien does have a body. We got some of his DNA. He's real. We photographed him. He's real. There's no question about that. But the fact is, it's not demonic, but it is in the sense that it's bad. But demonic is a spirit like that that's discarded. Generally, they're looking for someone to inhabit. The alien doesn't inhabit anyone. They simply take them, do whatever they can do with them, bring them back, and so on. So that's a radical difference of agenda there, so to speak.
Let's go to Rockland, California. Christine's with us now. Hi, Christine. Go ahead.
Hi, Daryl, I have a question for you. Now, obviously at the level of the abductees, the aliens are running the abductees, but at the higher level, who do you think's running who? You think it's humans running the aliens or the aliens running the humans? Or perhaps there's some sort of a seesaw of power between them. Also on the demon thing, or evil spirit, whatever, I don't see that it has to be either or, physical or the other. I mean, I know of a human being who at one point there was something going on, and I figured this chaos was developing with satanic, so I said, Satan, I bind you in Jesus' name, and I didn't, I just said it in the air. And another person with me said, in Jesus' name, and then this woman headed up the hallway, and I realized she was so interfaced with the devil that when he ran, she ran with him. But she was totally physical.
All right, well, who's in charge, Daryl?
Who's in charge to begin with? There is a, on an intelligence level, and we touched on this a little bit, on the intelligence level, in the cattle mutilation difficulties, in other words, in these cattle mutilation stories, if you follow this stuff way back, and I mean way back in the 1800s at least, way back, you can see the CIA didn't do that. I mean, right. They dumped tons of meat onto the ground over acres in the 1800s. It obviously wasn't the CIA that did that. It was someone else. But the fact is that the intelligence community, and specifically, in my opinion, probably an element of NSA or someone ensconced in these intelligence agencies like this, actually have been seen taking cattle from a farm or ranch like this with a black helicopter, unmarked black helicopter. What does that mean? It means that the government, these particular government people, know that these cattle have been retaken or pre-chosen by the alien to be taken. And so what happens, and some of this is in my book on Alien Hunter Evidence and Light,
in the second chapter, I go into this with Ted Oliphant. And basically what you have is a government and alien intervention, and they go back and forth putting different things in each other's cattle to see what each other does with it. And it's really kind of almost amusing. The second half of that situation, of who's in charge, is there's two basic theories out there in the UFO world, and I'll just touch on both of them. One of them is the Sitchin-type view that that the Anunnaki came down from the heavens. That's the way Sitchin translates it, but it's an incorrect translation, and it really baffled me that he couldn't either didn't want to or didn't know, and that either answer bothers me, why he couldn't translate Hebrew correctly. Because it doesn't say the Anunnaki or the ones that the gods that came down from the heavens and so on. It didn't say that they came down from the heavens. It said they were kicked out.
And you're not alone in that. Michael Heiser agrees with you.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, it's either Sitchin's view who interpreted it improperly on purpose, or he doesn't know. I hope he knew, but if he did...
I don't think it was on purpose.
I just don't understand why, if you're a Sumerian scholar and a Hebrew scholar, you can't render that properly. But the fact is that whoever they are, and they appear to be the fallen angelics, when they came down here, the first place they came after they got kicked out, if you got kicked out of a big place like that and you're no longer wanted, what would be your first, most people's first interest in the criminal level? Like I said, I've been a cop, so I kind of study this stuff. You tend to go after whatever their greatest possession is, and if Earth, in fact, was that crown jewel or the possession that they came here. So that part of the story, I think Sitchin got it right.
Let's go to Sean in Kansas City, Missouri. Sean, thank you. Go ahead.
Dr. George, Dr. Sims, great show.
You are welcome.
Well, I've called in before, but I was going to ask you about Plum Island, if this is all intertwined to that, and what does the military know about your studies, and what do they say? And last question, when is the Vatican going to have disclosure on aliens? I know they've been kicking it around when and how they're going to do it.
Government and the Vatican. What do you think, Daryl? perfect subjects.
It's a pretty hot topic among a lot of people right now. I personally don't think the Vatican knows near as much as a lot of people think they do. I think they're jumping on the bandwagon because I think the science of stuff is kind of eating their lunch, and they kind of don't know how to respond to that. And so they're adding to the story by saying, oh, yeah, well, who knows what this is, and so on, and these are aliens, and so on. But whatever their spin on it is, or whatever they think that it is, I'm sure they'll eventually tell. But concerning the Plum Island stuff, I don't know a great deal about Plum Island other than what I've heard. I mean, because I've not been there. I mean, I've obviously read the reports, and of course, there's all these theories about, oh, my gosh, it's, you know, the Chupacabras probably come from Plum Island. They got all this shut away, and, you know, or these different animals, the Mothman and all these different things. Well, the fact is some of these things that we're talking about have been around a lot longer than Plum Island's project has been in operation. So, but could the government be doing some pretty bizarre stuff there with animals as well? I don't doubt that possibility exists. Good Lord, all you got to do is go to the internet and type in Google, or any of these search engines, and just type in the word transgenic and hit images and see what happens. You'll find a human ear on a mouse. And if you go further and you study that, I'm telling you, it'll scare you. You're going to find that humans have already done this stuff. They've already cloned other people and other animals and things and parts and mixtures of these two. In fact, if you go back even in ancient biblical times, you'll see even in the Bible and even in the other books that the Bible refers to, the book of Jasher is a good example, and so on, you'll see that this was done in ancient times, and guess who did it? The fallen ones.
Yep. Let's go to Dan in Nashville, Tennessee now. Daniel, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, George?
Good, Dan. Thank you.
I just had a question because I had kind of a weird experience, and from the people I've talked to and things I've looked up, I can't really pinpoint one that's just like it. So I'm hoping maybe get some closure on this, because it's something I've thought about pretty much every day since it's happened about 6-7 months ago. Basically, I got myself into a situation where I felt like, okay, if I don't leave right now, I'm probably going to lose my life. So I got out of Dodge as fast as I could. Needless to say, I noticed people were following me. So I started, you know, using counter-surveillance tactics and ducking and dodging when I couldn't shake them. You know, I'm from a bad part of town, so I don't normally talk to police. And when that time come, I thought, this is all I can do. I was that scared. So I actually pulled over and talked to the police and tried to explain some things to them. And they told me really ominously that I should just go home. I'm talking like a madman, probably seeming like a lunatic about all this stuff. And the fact that they didn't pull me out of the car, that was just very strange. Well, I thought, okay, well, that's what I'm going to do. Well, I go and I start driving a little bit more. And I thought, I'm going to have to duck these people all night. So I go fill up on gas. Well, there, another policeman shows up. And I start telling him the same thing, what's going on. I even told him two other police told me I should go home. Well, he tells me the same thing. I just need to go home. Well, upon going home, and to make a long story short, you know, if I'd like to leave my contact information for your guests. That way, maybe if you want to contact me.
Okay, sure. And we only got 30 seconds left, Danny. Go ahead.
Okay, well, it was like I had a bright light showing up around me, okay? And all of a sudden, when I was collapsed, it's like I had an out-of-body experience. And it's like I felt myself being levitated, but I knew I was on the bed. And everywhere this hand touched me, it was like right above me. And at the same time, I could feel it on me. It's like I was having an electrical shock, and it was answering question after question. I just wondered, has that ever happened to anybody else?
Oh, it sure has. It's happened to a lot of people. Daryl, we are out of time, my friend. I want to thank you for everything you do. We could have gone on for another 10 hours with you.
Well, we can do it again in the future if you like, George. I'm always available for you.
I will like that indeed. Alienhunter.org, that's Daryl's website. Definitely go up there and track some of the things that he is doing. For Nathan Staten, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, David Hines, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.